I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Romans and chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Every week, as you know, we recite our statement of faith. And every week we mention Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Peter Motto just sung a song about this amazing grace. And it's amazing how many people know that song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. They sing it everywhere. All kinds of churches around the world. But I don't believe they really understand what amazing grace is. And so I want to speak today on a subject, once saved, always saved, is the gospel. It is the gospel. When Paul says, I am not ashamed, in verse 16, of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So the Bible tells us that, well, everybody is saved only through the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. There is no other salvation. There's not a plan B or C. And he talks about us being saved by the power of the gospel. Well, the gospel is the gospel of grace. It is amazing grace. So that's what I would like to speak on this morning. And I wanted to give you a copy of my notes, lest you would go crazy trying to write down all these verses. Therefore, you can write them down later. And many of the things that I have in bold, maybe you ought to highlight those in your Bible or underline certain verses in the Bible. But especially, there's a lot of truth in these verses. Because once saved, always saved is the final word. What does the Bible have to say? The proof is in the evidence. The evidence. Well, where could we find the evidence of such a doctrine? Because if you're not saved forever, you do not know if you are saved at all. The evidence is in the Word of God. So that's why we're going to use. What is the evidence? What's the final word? What did he say? And I want you to have these verses because I believe it is so important. We do have people that don't believe you can know. They just put their fingers in your ears. And he that hath ears to hear, let him hear, unless you don't really want to know the truth. If you really want to know what the Bible says, then I would suggest you listen up, be convinced of what the Bible teaches on this subject. Now, we have the Bible that says, by grace alone. Then you have people that says it's by grace and works. So one is truth, one is error. And I want you to see what the Bible has to say. Now in Romans in chapter 11 in verse 6, the first part of that verse says, and if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. Can you understand that? Is that too complicated? But look at the other part of the verse. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. In other words, it looks like you cannot add them together. It can't be both ways. Well, it's free, but you've got to live a certain way. Your manner of life has absolutely no evidence for you to believe in for salvation. It doesn't contribute anything. All of your works has no effect concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ, concerning going to heaven. But you'll hear most people say, well, to go to heaven, you've got to be good. You've got to live a certain way. You've got to stop certain things. But is that the truth of the gospel? It is not. And I want to show you this. Sometimes you have to repeat things. I want to, did you hear what he said? Did you understand the power that's in that verse? Because it's either got to be one way or the other. It's either by grace or it's grace and works. But if it's grace and works, they annul each other out. It can't be both ways. Salvation cannot be free, and you still got to deserve it. Grace means you don't deserve it. Grace means it's unmerited. And the Bible says, for by grace, this is why we sing that song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. You add one word to it, it's no longer grace. Look at it one more time. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. You can't add works to it. Not even one. None. But if it be of works, then grace does not exist. It's either one way or the other. I've had people say, you can't tell me you can trust Christ as your Savior and then live like the devil and still go to heaven. If you don't believe that, you don't believe in salvation by grace. You can most absolutely, positively, trust Christ as Savior, have eternal life, be God's child, know you're going to heaven, and live like the devil. Now, if you're ashamed to say that because you don't want people to misunderstand, I don't want people to misunderstand the truth of the gospel. That's why I can't, skirt around it. Come straight out and say, this is what we are telling people. This is what either makes it good news or this is heresy. What I'm talking about right now. It's not close. It's either truth or it's in the air. Because I'm telling you that your manner of life, how you live, have absolutely nothing to do with your destination. We're always told if you're good, you go to heaven, and bad, you're going to hell. And how you live has absolutely nothing to do with where you spend eternity. That's amazing grace. Look at Titus 3:5. These verses are in the Bible. And if they don't say what I'm saying, they say, then you're going to have to find out what does it mean then. When he says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. But according to his mercy, he what?
Saved us.
He saved us. Past tense, already done. You see, I'm not looking to someday I'm going to get saved. I trusted Christ as my Savior when I was 18 years old, 57 years ago. And because I trusted Christ then, I was as much saved that day that I have ever been. I have not gotten any more saved by how I lived. And I will tell you this. Before then, I didn't go to church. I didn't read the Bible. I did a little praying. I didn't give any money. Since then, I have done all of those things for 57 years. But it has not helped me to be 1 minute better saved or 1 cent better saved. I have been saved. I'm not going to be saved. But according to his mercy, he saved us. Not because you earned it or worked for it or deserved it. No man has ever lived good enough to go to heaven. That's why salvation must be by grace. Because you will never deserve going to heaven. Romans chapter 4 and verse 4 says, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. In other words, if going to heaven was the result of your good life, then God would be in debt to you. And salvation could not be a gift. It could not be free. It could not be by grace. Because grace and works are two different things. It means you would have to try to save yourself by your works. And then if you were saved by your works, if, who becomes the judge of your works? You are God. Do you believe that you can save yourself by your good works? Are you the one that determines how good your works are? Remember, God says all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. That's in God's sight. What you might deem to be such holy, superior, God says that's trash. Now get this. Titus 3:6 says, which he shed, past tense, on us abundantly through keeping the Ten Commandments and going to Calvary Community Church and turning from my sin and making Christ the Lord and the master of my life. No. Abundantly through Jesus Christ, our co-helper, our co-savior. He is our savior. Now, if I helped save myself by my good deeds, he needed me to help him. Therefore, he didn't do it all. He just showed me the way, and I did the rest of it. Amen. Salvation is the gift of God, not by works of righteousness which we have done. I am already saved, not going to be saved. Now, we know we'll be saved from the very presence of sin one day. And I know that the Holy Spirit lives within me. And as I study the Word of God, I can be saved from the very power of sin in my life today. But my eternal destination was dependent upon that day when I trusted Christ as my Savior. Now, in Romans chapter 4 and verse 2, notice what Abraham has found. For if Abraham were justified by works, which means that he evidently was not saved by his works, he hath whereof the glory, but not before God. Abraham cannot brag, boast in the presence of God that he's going to heaven because of any good works that he did. And also remember this, we have people today that want to make, well, that means that you're just not saved by the law. But we do have to be saved by the commandments of Christ. Those are two different things. You know, the law of Moses and the commandments of Christ, they try to make a difference. Well, Moses was under the law. But Abraham was not under the law. And he's talking about Abraham, if he was justified by works, could not be referring to the law because the law was not given for 430 years later to Moses on Mount Sinai. Duh. They don't know the Bible. Now, if Abraham was justified by his works, he hath whereof the glory. He can glory in that. Look what I did. I've asked people, I say, where are you going when you die? Oh, I'm going to heaven. Well, how do you know? I'm a deacon. I've had a board of demons too. I've had deacons. I sing in the choir. I teach a Sunday school class. That has nothing to do with your destination. No man's going to heaven because, well, I go to church and I give money. No. You can always brag because of what I did. That's why when I witness to somebody, I know right off the bat, how do you know you're going to heaven? Because, well, I have done this and I have done that and I have done that. No. I trusted Christ as my Savior. This is the only legitimate answer. Now get this. In verse 7 of Titus chapter 3, he says, that being justified by my works, and no, always check the preacher. Don't believe everything he tells you. You go by what the book says. He says, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope. That means a joyfully anticipating our presence with the Lord. That day when we're going to literally enter into this eternal life. I have eternal life now. I am God's child now. I am justified now. I'm going to heaven. I'm just going to have to get rid of this old body because it won't last where I'm headed. Galatians 2:16. Look at this verse. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Nobody can be justified in the sight of God by his works, by the keeping of the law. You would think, if this is the book, and this is the book, people, how can you explain these verses away? trying to make them say something they don't say. A man is not justified by the works of the law. And then when it comes to Abraham, the works, because it was before the law, the works of righteousness. No man has ever been saved, ever will be saved, by his works. No man was saved by his works before the law, under the law, or after the law, in the time of grace and where we live. Man has always been saved the same way, by putting his confidence, his trust in the payment that Jesus Christ made on the cross. In the Old Testament, they looked forward to that payment that was going to be made. You and I, we're 2,000 years on this side of the cross, and we look back to the day when the payment was made. But we're all saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And that's how we're justified by grace, because of what he did. He kept the law. He lived that perfect life. We haven't, and never will. So God made it as a gift, as a free gift to the mankind, so that we can have eternal life and know we're going to heaven. And this is why this is such a critical thing for me, and always trying to make sure that people understand the difference between law and grace. Because the consequences is hell. Not to believe the truth is hell. Perfection was demanded at Mount Sinai when God gave the law to Moses. But perfection was provided by grace at Mount Calvary. You have two mountains. When Moses went up to one mountain, Jesus went up to another mountain. When the law was given, 3,000 were killed because the law killeth. The wages of sin is death. The law was not given to save a man. But under grace, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were saved because of the payment Christ made on the cross. So what the law demanded, God provided at Mount Calvary. The law demanded perfection. So how you doing? If you don't produce perfection, then you broke the law. And because we break the law, we are guilty. And because we're guilty, we are condemned. So every man is not waiting to be condemned. He's already condemned. So that's why Christ came. He kept the law, lived it perfectly. Now what if he was to give you his life, gave you his perfection? See, he took your sin because you broke the law, and I broke the law. Therefore, we have to die. But Christ didn't have to die because he kept the law perfectly. But he died in our place as a substitute. He died for me so that I wouldn't have to. Came back from the dead and said, the only thing that I had to do is to believe that he did that for me. So law brings death, but grace brings life. And this is why, yes, we sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. But there's a lot of people that are singing the words and haven't got a clue what it's talking about. And they're still trying to earn their way to heaven by how good they live. And you'd be surprised how many people who go to church, maybe even some who come here, and think how you live is going to determine your destination. You think because I live a good Christian life, that's going to help. Zero. Has nothing to do with your destination. God forbid you come to this church or listen to me on internet or the YouTube or on the radio and yet do not understand salvation is the gift, total gift of God. Romans 3:24 says this, being justified freely by his grace. Did you hear what he said? Can you read that? Can you understand it? Do you grasp this? Because this is so important. I've had people say, well, you know, all churches are the same. No, they're not. They don't all believe the same way. being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ in me because of the payment Christ made. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law. You trying to save yourself by the law? Christ has no effect. Why? Because you can't mix grace and works together. You can't put the law and grace together. I'm trusting Christ as my Savior, but just in case I'm going to be good, then you don't really trust Christ. You don't really believe in salvation by grace. You don't really believe it's free. You think something that you add to it is going to help. See, a lot of people believe that Jesus Christ, that he's necessary. They just don't believe he's enough. In Romans 4, 5. Some people will say, yes, but believing is a work. Believing is a work. That's something you had to do. That's a work. God says, correction. But to him that worketh not, but believeth. So then believing is not a work. Believing is me putting my confidence and trust in someone else to save me, not me saving me. If I could save me, then I would be my Savior. But believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. What do I get by me trusting Christ? His righteousness. He will give me his righteousness. Now, if God gave me his righteousness, that would make me as righteous as God. You see, you have to be perfect to go to heaven. But if he took my sins, gave me his perfection, I'm going on his. That's how I know I'm going to heaven whenever I die. Why? Because in God's eyes, I'm as good as God. You say, how can you say something like that? Because of grace. The grace of God. The mercy of God. See, mercy means I'm not going to get what I deserve. I deserve to go to hell, and everybody else does too. Grace is getting something I don't deserve. I get to go to heaven, and I don't get to go to hell. That's why he says, he that believeth in me shall not perish, means I don't go to hell. But have everlasting life means I go to heaven when I die. Now, is that good stuff, as Freddie Coyle would say? That's good. In Galatians in chapter 3, verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. How much clearer can you get it? And yet you'll have people saying you've got to keep the law. You've got to turn from your sins. That means stop being bad. You got to commit your life to Christ. Well, that means start being good. So that means that your destination will depend upon whether did you turn or did you commit. It depends upon you. That is not the gospel. That is not salvation. And God have pity on all the preachers that are preaching that trash. Because that is heresy. It is not the truth of the gospel. What I'm talking about is offensive. The gospel offends every person who believes in any kind of works for salvation. Because you need to believe in work for salvation. Every religion teaches that. It's only the ones who really understand and treat salvation by grace and believe in once saved, always saved by the grace of God and that alone. Yeah, they get criticized. And a few other things. Look at this verse. Awesome verse. Totally awesome. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9. And be found in him. Now, if you ever want to know what kind of law are you talking about? Well, this is what it says. Not having mine own righteousness, which is what? Of the law. And I put it in bold so that you would see it. I even made it yellow so you could draw your eyes to it. The law is defined by the words, not having mine own righteousness. Whether before the law was given, under the law, it doesn't make any difference. It's not according to your own righteousness. No man is saved by his own works of righteousness, which he has done. And whenever I make the statement, once you trust Christ as Savior, once saved, always saved. And I've had people say that is a damnable doctrine. That's heresy. That is the gospel. That's why I know I'm going to heaven, because there's no way possible I can go to hell in the future. I can't go to hell today, and I can't go to hell tomorrow. You say, well, you don't deserve that. I know, that's what I've been trying to tell you. You're saved by grace. That means that my works didn't give it to me, and my works can't take it away. I was saved by the grace of God. And because I know that God loves me that much, it made me want to serve Him with all my heart. All the days of my life. Why? Because I don't have to. Oh, I like that. Ephesians 2:8. You probably never heard these verses before. Might not even know they're in the Bible, but look at this. He says, and that not of yourselves. Now, what part of that would you not get? For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, not of yourself. Can a person understand that? No, no, a lot of people can't. They cannot, they got to twist even that. And then look at the next verse, Ephesians 2:9. Not of works, why? Lest any man should boast. Why wasn't Abraham saved by his works? Because he could boast, but not before God. Remember that verse a while ago in Romans in chapter 4? Not of works. I wonder what that means. Well, in the Greek, let me tell you what it means in the Greek. Not of works. When he says, by grace are you saved, in the Greek, it means, for by grace are you saved. So you don't have to interpret the Bible. It's already been interpreted. All you got to do is believe it. And just because you know Hebrew and Greek doesn't make you smarter or wiser. You see, the people in Christ's day, they spoke Hebrew and they spoke Greek. And they still blew it, didn't they? Give me a good old King James, I'm fine. In Ephesians 2:8, look at it. For by grace are ye saved. Remember, it can't be by works. It can't be by both. By grace are you saved. Through faith. Just believing. It is the gift of God. Now look in Hebrews 9 and verse 19. I use this verse a lot. I love this verse. For the law made nothing perfect. If you have to be perfect to go to heaven, the law doesn't make any man perfect, then that means that no works of any man can make the man perfect. It means he's not good to go. Because heaven is a perfect place. Heaven is not a reward that you get because you deserve. It's a destination. And it's given to us by grace. But the bringing in of a better hope did. That's grace. The what the law could not do, grace could. God says, you couldn't earn it. I got another way. Well, what's that? I'll give it to you. No, that's too easy. That's too easy. Got to be more complicated than that. What do I have to do? Nothing. It's free. No. God couldn't have meant that. Well, if you don't take it by grace, you don't get it at all. If you understand what I'm saying, I mean really understand what I'm saying, would you do me a favor? Would you just raise your hand real quick and put it right back down? Okay, some of you couldn't get your hand up. Some people just don't get it. Even little kids can understand it. You don't mix law and grace together. Every Sunday, when we have our third Sunday dinner, I usually will have my pockets full of some candy or a little dish, and I go back to the fellowship hall, and it won't be long before I'm eating, and here comes a couple of little kids. And they know, you know, those kids, they know it's free. They know it's free. I've even had them come down my hallway. I've had them come looking for me. Because they know that the preacher's got something that's free. Because they know it don't cost them anything. They don't have to buy anything. It don't cost them any money. And they know they saw where I get the candy from that's in my office in that door that you open up and it's sitting right there. They've seen me do it. They have helped themselves. I'll even say you can have one piece, and some of them don't know how to count. But it's a shame that I have to buy these kids to like me, you know. But I'm hoping by the time they get, you know, 18, 19, they'll just, you know, they'll get out of the candy stage. But they know the difference between something that you got to pay for and it's something that's free. But adults, they just can't seem to get this thing. Preachers that don't get it. Because they just can't believe, well, you can't tell people that they're just free and they don't have to do something. That's just giving them a license to sin. You ever heard that? You're giving them a license. I'm not giving anybody anything. I didn't design this. I'm telling you what God says. God says that it's free. After you trust Christ as your Savior, you have a choice. You can choose to be an obedient child or a disobedient child, but you're still his child. If you're an obedient child, God will bless your life, reward you when you get to heaven. If you're disobedient, he'll beat the tar out of you and maybe take you home before your time. But that's a choice. But doesn't change the fact where you're going to go when you die. Heaven is a perfect place. And you have to be a child of God to go there. And that's the greatest thing in all the world. Get this now. Salvation by grace eliminates works. 100%. Salvation by one work eliminates grace by 100%. The other cancels the other one out. Because if it is free, it cannot be by works. If you got to earn it, it can't be free. Duh! Can't people understand that? Can't you see that? How do I know I'm going to heaven? Because it's free. It's the gift of God, not of works. It means I didn't have to do any good works to get it, and I don't have to do any good works to keep it. You say, well, you can just go out here and live bad. Of course I can. Everybody can. Most people do. Don't most people live the way they want to? Well, if I can live any way I want, I just decided I want to live for the Lord. I want to read the Bible. And I want to pray. I want to live a godly life. Something wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Ain't nothing wrong with that. But if I choose to go the other direction, my father says, you can do that. But I'm going to beat the tar out of you. There's consequences. I just found out I would rather have God's blessings than God's chastening. Grace can only give eternal security. You can't get it any other way. Grace can only give eternal security. It cannot save you for a day. It cannot save you for a week or for a month. It has to save you forever if it's any good at all. Grace cannot provide a reason to take it away. You see, if you're saved by grace without your works, then there's no reason that grace can ever take it away. Can't you see that? I mean, if it's free. And he saves you and gives you what kind of life? Eternal life. One work required produces a reason to doubt your salvation. If you had one work, whatever that one work is, now you've got to worry all your life. Did you do it? Did you do it well? What if you fail? Now what are you going to do? See, the reason that I can't lose my salvation is because I would have to commit a sin that Christ hadn't paid for. Now tell me, how many sins did he pay for? Done. That's why I can't go to hell. I don't have any sins to pay for. When you understand this, it gives you such confidence, such boldness. I don't have to worry about what all the other preachers say. I don't have to try to match anybody and be as good as anybody. I've got the most powerful message in the world. And I don't have to take a back seat to anybody. I didn't design this message. But it is the gospel. And there is no gospel B, C, or D. There's only one way. And that's the Lord. Not of yourselves. I wonder what that means. It means there are no reasons to think you could lose your salvation. Not of yourself. You're not the Savior. Salvation is not given to you because you promise how you're going to live. Lord, I promise that I won't be bad anymore. I don't think God would buy that. I'm not going to sin anymore. Have you tried that? Work cannot be the evidence of salvation. If works are required as evidence, then they will prove that you are not saved. Your good work cannot prove you're saved. They can only prove that you're not if you go by works. Why? Because you have to be perfect. So your works can only prove you're not saved. You have to live a perfect life. Cursed is every man who continueth not in all things according to the law, according to the works. that you have to fulfill everything which is commanded that you have to do them. You know that good works did not save you. Of the verses that we've already read, by grace are you saved, not by works of righteousness which we have done. You know that good works did not save you, is not now saving you, nor will be the securing factor of your salvation in the future. When you're saved by grace, you should understand that. That how I've lived is not what saved me. How I am living is not what saves me. How I will live does not save me. So my salvation is not dependent upon my life. It's dependent upon His life. Now, on the other side of the screen, you must judge if someone is really saved by how they live. If you believe in salvation by works or any good deeds that they do, if you commit suicide, it proves you were not saved. You'd be surprised how many funerals I've done. And I've done funerals for people that have committed suicide. And that is a heartbreaker for many people. Because I've had them call me up on the phone and says, I want to know if you will do my memorial service and blah, blah, blah. So, and I said, yes, ma'am, I'll be glad to. I just look at it as a fishing hole. I get a chance to go fishing. I don't know if sometimes the people trust the Lord or not. Sometimes I don't even know them. Never met them. Know nothing about them. But somebody will tell me, says, no, they committed suicide. And we have a bunch of people that are Christians. And they believe because he committed suicide, he couldn't go to heaven. Because he committed suicide. Because after you commit suicide, is that a sin? Well, yes. Well, how can he get forgiveness for that after he's dead? So evidently, he must not be saved, or he lost his salvation because look what he did. You know what I enjoy telling people? If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, regardless of what you've done in your life, of all the sins you've ever committed, God still loves you. You're still his child. You'll go to heaven when you die. And I said, if a person commits suicide, he says, is that a sin? Yeah. Paid. Paid. What about a Christian that becomes a homosexual? I've had them ask me this because they like to try to trap me. Do you believe that a practicing homosexual can be a Christian? And so go to heaven when he dies. Now see, if I say no, I contradicted myself. If I say yes, who in the world would believe that? So I tell them what the Bible says. God said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. If a person walks into this auditorium, and they're a practicing homosexual, and they trust Christ as their Savior, will God save him?
Yes.
Give him eternal life.
Yes.
Make him God's child. Yes. Justify him as though he'd never done anything wrong, and walk out of here and doesn't change one iota of his life. He's still as saved can be. Now, if you don't believe that, you don't believe salvation by grace. Salvation by grace means, yes, he is saved if he trusted Christ as Savior. Now, I don't know who trusts the Lord, and I don't know who doesn't. But I don't try to change the message because of the way some people live. When God says, I've given them eternal life, either he does or he doesn't. When he says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, it's either true or false. Don't walk out of here and say, the preacher told me to go commit suicide. I had a woman call me up one time in Colorado. She called me up and she was just, she says, I'm going to commit suicide. And she was weeping on the phone and she was just pouring out her heart. And I'm doing everything I possibly can to talk her out of it and so on, you know. And I said, are you married? She said, yes, I am. I said, well, does your husband know about this? She says, yes, he does. I said, well, who is your husband? She says, Lee Stanford. Nancy. Is this Nancy? She said, yes, she started laughing. She thought it was so much fun. I was ready to come through the telephone. But yes, once you trusted Christ as Savior, you have eternal life. I said, now that I know your husband, I said, yeah, I'd go commit suicide. Don't you walk out of here and commit suicide and then have somebody blame it on the preacher. I did not tell you to do that. I tell every person, live as holy and godly as you can. Just don't trust in your good works to get you to heaven. Going to heaven is a gift of God. Marriage is a relationship in which one person is always right and the other one is the husband. Salvation is where the Lord is always right and we are always wrong. God designed the plan of salvation, not us. That was His idea. This is what He does. You should know that how a man lived, past him, is living now, or will live does not prove, secure, or guarantee he's really saved. The only way you know or believe that somebody's saved is what are you trusting in to get you to heaven? You can't use how they're living. Because you see, a lost man can go to church, and a lost man can pray, and a lost man can read the Bible, and a lost man can even give out the gospel and never believe it. So if that's proof that he's saved, that ought to be proof that, well, the whole world's saved. You must judge if someone is really saved by how they live, if you believe in works for salvation. If you believe in works for salvation, then you will judge people whether they're saved or not because of how they live. Well, I know that blah, blah, blah is really a Christian because she lives it. I know she's saved because she lives it. That isn't how you can tell if a person is saved or not. But don't we all want to see every person who trusts the Lord have this life-changing experience in their life? Where they change their life and they turn to God and they serve God with all their heart. Of course we'd like to do that. But we can't lie to people to get it done. That's why so many people doubt whether they're saved or not, because they still got sin in their life. Well, they don't have victory in their life. If they live in the flesh, they say, well, you're not saved. A Christian can live in the flesh. A Christian can live in sin. Is it the will of God? No. There's a lot of people who want to lose weight. And when you want to lose weight, there's a lot of ways to do it. You may go on a strict diet of nothing but vegetables, and somebody else will just eat nothing but protein. Somebody else doing something else, just starving yourself. But there's a lot of ways to do it. But one of the easiest ways to burn fat is, you know, there's a way to do that. But there's only one way to get to heaven. I was witnessing somebody one time and said, you know, we're all like a big old wagon wheel. We're out here and we got all these different points of view. But we're all trying to get to the same place. I said, that's great if heaven was a hub of a wheel. But heaven is not that. I had one man, and it was up in Walden, Colorado. And he says, I witnessed to him, and he just, I don't want to hear that. He says, I just look at it like that mountain out there. He pointed to the mountain. He says, we may be all around that mountain trying to get to the top. He says, we're all going our different ways, but we all wind up in the same spot when we get there. I thought, that's great. But heaven is on top of a mountain. God says there's only one way, and it's up through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Surety of heaven can only be guaranteed to those who are saved by faith alone. If God gave you eternal life and says that all your sins are paid, and guarantees us, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So I can know I have eternal life. I can know I'm going to heaven. Why? Because it was free. But if it depended on my works, then I have to wait and see if I perform. When salvation involves good works, you must believe a person was not really saved, or they have lost it when they sinned. Have you sinned since you've been saved? Yes. Don't volunteer. You don't have to. It was just a rhetorical question, you know. But have you sinned since you've been saved? You say, well, yes, I have. Ha! See there? That means you haven't turned from all your sins. You're not saved. So you can get people to question and doubt their salvation. I don't believe that's what God wants us to do. Going to heaven is free. It's a gift. But rewards we receive in heaven are earned by serving the Lord. Does God want us to serve Him with all our heart? Does God want me to love Him? Yes, He does. Why? Because look what He did for me. That's why in Romans in chapter 12 and verse 1 he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, in view of the mercies of God and what God has done for us, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You see, service comes after you're saved, but it may not come at all. But it comes because do not conform yourself to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or discover what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God has a perfect will for us on how to live. But that's not to get to heaven. Any man that depends even a little on his manner of life to be saved cannot know for sure he's not going to hell. And that's why you can't know you're going to heaven until you know you can't go to hell. And if your salvation depends upon your works, you don't know you're going to heaven. And God says if you're dependent upon your works, you are going to hell. Our destination, heaven or hell, is not determined by the way we live, but by what we believe. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever does what? Believe in him should not perish." That means won't go to hell, but have everlasting life. The hardest prison to escape is in your mind. All success and all your failure starts and stops right up there in your mind. Your actions are byproduct of the way that you think. If you want to raise the caliber of your life, you raise the caliber of your thoughts. But see, God wants you to believe the truth. And if you don't believe the truth, then you believe a lie. So you battle this. God says it's by grace and grace alone. Will you believe that? If you believe another way, then you believe a lie. There's only one way of going to heaven. You will not find in the Bible where God saves a person because of his good works. Find it. There's the Bible. Go find it. Bring it to me. Show me. If a man was saved by his good works, it ought to be one place in the Bible that has it. But you can't find it. Why? Because it's not happening. It never has happened. Man is not saved by that. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." John 3:17 says this, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." The world through him, through Christ. Not through your good works, not through the church, not by giving money, not by your good life. Only grace can give eternal security, eternal life. That's why when I trust Christ as my Savior, God gave me eternal life. How long would it last? If it lasts forever and all my sins are paid, where will I go when I die? To heaven. So can I know I'm going to heaven before I die? Of course. But if it's dependent upon my works, I'll have to wait and see. Anything that depends on me, I've got to wait until I see. I've got to wait until I get to some judgment that's going to determine whether or not did I do them good works or not. But he that believeth not is condemned already. You see, when he makes the statement, "He that believeth on him is not condemned." If you believe, you're not condemned. I'm not condemned. And in John chapter 5, verse 24 says, "And he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not, in the future, shall not come into condemnation." So I'm not condemned now and I cannot come into condemnation. That sounds pretty secure. Unless I want to twist the scriptures and say God didn't really mean what he said. It's so important to believe the truth. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone. Jesus paid it all. Do you believe that? There is no reason why every person in this room would ever believe a message of salvation by works in any way. Because you have heard, I believe, the truth of the gospel. Once saved, always saved. And that's the final word because it rests totally upon what the word of God says. G-R-A-C-E. If it's by grace, then it can be eternal. Look up here. This hand represents you and me. And the wallet represents sin. We all have sin upon us. God loves us. Hates our sin, but he loves us. And because we have all sinned, we're all condemned. But God loves us, wants us to go to heaven. And go to heaven, we have to be not good, perfect. No sin. No debt to pay. Free from all sin and all debts. But I am in debt. And God says, I cannot save myself. This hand represents Jesus Christ. He's the Lord God in the flesh. He came into this world because he loves us, hates our sin, because our sin separates us from him. So Jesus Christ, who had no sin, didn't have to die. So he came into the world. He took my sin, took yours, the sins of the whole world, paid for it on the cross, and came back from the dead. When you believe he did that for you, He gives to you His righteousness. And you go to heaven on what He did. You don't earn it. You don't work for it. You don't deserve it. It is the gift of God. God loves you that much. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have temporary life. Everlasting life. Do I have everlasting life? Yes, I do. Do I know for sure I'm going to heaven? Yes, I do. I could not go to hell if I tried. I haven't tried, but I can't go to hell. Because once you're saved, you're always saved. And that's what makes the gospel such good news. Let's pray, shall we? Every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around. If you're here this morning, or if you're watching by internet and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I hope that if you have been trusting in any of your works, in any way, that what I've said this morning from the Word of God will help you to see. Are you really trusting Christ and Him alone as your only hope of going to heaven? Do you know for certain you have eternal life? If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, would you do it right now? In your own mind, just between you and the Lord, just say something simple like this. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I believe Christ died and paid for my sins. And I'm going to trust Him and Him only as my only hope of going to heaven. I'm going to be saved by grace, not by my works. I see that. I understand that. And friend, if you're making that decision, I'm not going to have you forward. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I am going to ask you in just a moment to raise your hand. Raising your hand doesn't save you. It just lets me know that what I said made sense to you. And you said, preacher, that made sense. And I will trust Christ as my Savior. And friend, I'd like to know. And I'd like to have prayer for you. Would you just slip your hand up very quickly and put it right back down? Anyone at all? Just very quickly, slip it up, put it right back down. Yes, God bless you, sir. Anyone else? Anyone else? Just quickly, just slip it up, put it right back down. No tricks to it. Not going to pin you against the wall. But if you trust Christ as your Savior right now, He gives you eternal life right now. And remember this, you never have to do it again. Because He can't give you eternal life twice. If you're watching by internet, right on the screens, say, yes, I will trust Christ as my Savior. If you've never done so, I pray that you will. Father, we thank You again for Your blessings. Thank You for this time together. We thank You, Lord, for the message of grace. Thank You so much that salvation is a gift to whosoever believeth. We thank You, Lord, for the one that indicated by an uplifted hand that they would trust You and You alone. We ask Your blessings upon those that are watching by internet. Lord, this is so important. The difference is heaven and hell. And we want every person to hear the gospel, to trust Your Savior. And we thank You for the opportunity You've given us. We ask, Father, Your blessings upon the college to start tomorrow and for the meeting tonight. And we just pray Your blessings upon us. You've been good to us. We thank You for it. In Christ's name, amen.